It's baffled scholars for two millennia. It is a puzzle made of multidimensional elements, an enigma with roots that reach back to the dawning of time, perhaps before. Daniel explained part of it. Ezekiel and Isaiah had glimpses into it. John saw it all for the time of the end. That time is now. Join Derek and Sharon Gilbert on a journey that spans the course of history, from Eden to Mount Hermon, from Hermon to Babel, from Babel to Rome, from Rome to the cross, and from there to us. Biblical prophecy is coming true before your eyes, and to understand it, you must discern the times both then and now. It's time to unravel the threads of this all-encompassing prophetic paradox. It's time to unravel Revelation.
Welcome to Unraveling Revelation from Skywatch TV. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I get to be Sharon Gilbert. I love saying that. And we love that you are joining us on this. I love this study. We're taking our time. We really are. I know that there are other Revelation studies that it just concentrates on the basic Old Testament revelations like Daniel and Ezekiel and sort of lines that up with the book of Revelation. But you and I, we've been through the entire Bible a couple of times with Gilbert House Fellowship study. And because of that, I've realized that everything in the New Testament is built upon stuff in the Old Testament, including the book of Revelation.
Yep.
And we not only get it in the Old Testament, but there are extra biblical sources like the book of Enoch that help us to understand what those who lived in the first century, who received these letters, those seven churches in the book of Revelation, they had a particular understanding of the language within that book. And so we've lost it.
We have.
You and I are trying to get us back to it.
Yes. This is not some crazy new way of trying to interpret the Bible. We're trying to understand it the way the prophets and the apostles saw the world around them. And they certainly had a, unlike us today, where we sort of assume that the pagan gods of the ancient world were just made up. They understood that these gods were real, just fallen angels.
Well, here's an example. Imagine sending a little note to someone living in the 1940s that was signed ROTFL. That person living in the 1940s, which frankly wasn't all that long ago, it was less than a century ago, would have no idea what you meant by that. And of course, it means rolling on the floor laughing. But we understand that. Back in the day, SWAK, sealed with a kiss. There are certain codes that everybody understands. In a way, the Lord has built codes into these unveiling scriptures in the book of Revelation.
And it helps that we're living in a generation that's got access to archaeological discoveries that give context to things in the Bible.
Isn't that exciting?
It really is. It really is. I've got a lot of respect for the scholars of Scripture in centuries gone by when they didn't have access to this. Not only do we have access to these new discoveries, but we've got these electronic tools that help us to search through things very, very quickly. The great scholars of years gone by, the Bible commentators of the Great Awakening, they had to do all this by hand and with paper texts. So
I have to tell you something funny really quickly that just I saw in the news this morning. Apparently there are kids over in Great Britain who have to take their tests now. These are big tests at Oxford in person. And they're very upset that they can't take it online because online they've got access to Google, Wikipedia, and any other, you know, online source. And they've also got the book sitting next to them.
Right.
They're upset that they can't take the book, they can't have access to Google, and they can't look at Wikipedia while they take their test.
That's a big change, even in our generation, you know, because you and I are fairly computer literate, but a lot of things that we think we know, we don't actually know. We just know that we can pick up our phone and do a search.
Yes, exactly.
And the generations that have grown up with phones coming out of the crib, they confuse that with actual knowledge, whereas the scholars of years gone by actually had to know and then know where in the reference library to find the volume that they would.
They also memorized scripture.
Right.
They memorized entire books of scripture.
And that is a skill that we have lost. We have skill. And the other thing, too, is that there's a sadly, a large percentage of the church today that does not take the Word of God as authoritative because it doesn't quite fit with our modern sensibilities. Mm-hmm. And so we want to de-emphasize this as, well, these are suggestions more than commandments. Coming back to the ages of man and some of this idea that we're in a cycle that will somehow return us to a golden age.
The fake news version of what's really going on
yes,
in the world?
Yes, yes. Last week we talked about the dream of Nebuchadnezzar and the statue that had the head of gold, which represented the kingdom mm-hmm. of Babylon, the chest and arms of silver, which was the Medo-Persians, or perhaps Media, depending on who's interpreting it, the middle and thighs of bronze representing either Persia or Greece. I believe Greece is the correct interpretation.
I do too.
And the legs of iron represent, and the feet of iron and clay representing the Greek or Roman
it's
empire.
It's the Roman
and I think
empire,
it's Roman.
I believe.
But I think the iron mixed with miry clay, you can do a couple of interpretations there because of the interpretation in English, they will mix with one another in marriage. You have the Eastern and Western Roman empires, mm-hmm. and of course
well, the
Western,
two legs at the very least. Yeah.
Yes, and the Western Roman Empire fell by 432 AD, I think. Mm-hmm. The Eastern Roman Empire continued until 1542 when Constantinople was finally taken by the Ottomans. But you can also look at that as today. We argued in our book, Giants, Gods, and Dragons, that the Roman Empire, if you will, or the spirit that was the prince of Rome, the storm god, Jupiter, Zeus, Baal, Satan, is really leading the Western world because mm-hmm. Western civilization is founded on Greco-Roman philosophy, law, art, literature, etc. Mm-hmm. And you look at all of our government buildings and how they all look very, very much like pagan temples from ancient Greece and Rome.
Oh, yes. Well, this is being told in Babylon. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that Nebuchadnezzar really would have had a chart coming from, you know, Greece.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Greece, as we know, it didn't exist then, but coming from that era, area. He would have had knowledge, though, of more ancient ideas, more ancient fake news versions of the successive seasons of mankind.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that going back to Babel, that there was a belief that they were resetting the world.
Yeah.
They were going to bring back the old ones. They were going to bring back
right.
Saturn.
Yeah.
They had another name for it.
Well, in the book, I argue that Enlil mm-hmm. of Sumer and Akkad, who was the chief deity, their creator god, the father of their gods, who had driven away the sky god, who I think was the fake news version of the God of the Bible.
Yes.
Oh, he's distant, he's remote, he's been emasculated, mm-hmm. he doesn't mess with us anymore. Enlil is the only one who talks to him, so you got to pray to Enlil because he's the chief god. Babel just means gate of God or gate of the gods.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're right. I think at Babel harkens back to that age before the flood and the golden age. In fact, it's not a coincidence, I think, that we see even in ancient Sumer and in the ancient Hurrian religion, this idea that there are former gods who are in the netherworld, mm-hmm. separated from us by a body of water, whether it's a river or an ocean, that must be crossed in order to access them. But if you perform the right rituals, which often involved digging a pit into the earth mm-hmm. and inscribing a magic circle for protection, you could bring them up, ask them for favors, and then they would go away again.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're right. I think Babel was an attempt to cross that gap
cross
between
the streams.
Us and them.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think the body of water has to do with the flood.
Exactly. Exactly.
So before the flood, you had the angels who sinned,
mm-hmm.
Shemyaza and his bunch. They came down and they intermingled with mankind. They created the Nephilim. And the Nephilim are said in the Book of Enoch to have bred with one another
mm-hmm.
or themselves bred with mankind. And they said they had their own offspring.
Mm-hmm.
And so you had at least two generations past the original fallen angels.
Right, right.
So you've got a golden, a silver, a bronze, and then on down. That may have been the original seasons of entities on Earth.
That's a really good point. I hadn't considered that, but you're right. The Book of Enoch describes these watchers who commingled mm-hmm. with humanity. Then there were giants, and from the giants came the Nephilim, and from the Nephilim came a race they called Eliud, which translates from Greek into, or well, roughly translates as gods of glory.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So I think that after the flood, when mankind began to proliferate again, and there were those who had the memory, of course, Noah and his sons, they had the memory of what had happened pre-flood, and the angels that the Lord sent down later, but this memory alone, I think that they may have thought, if we can just open up the gateway that they went through, we can bring them back.
Yes, the God gate, the
yes,
Bob Elu,
exactly.
The Bob El.
So you get into a lot of this in your first book for Defender Publishing, and I love this book because you cover the ideas of mountains.
Yeah, that was something that just struck me as I was trying to figure out. This came out of a presentation for the Prophecy Watchers Conference in 2017.
Yeah, a long time ago. But we put out a lot of stuff since then.
Yeah, the book was published in 2017, but often that's how it works. Put together a conference presentation and realize that I've got an outline for a book. It struck me that there were a lot of really significant events that took place in biblical history that are related to mountains. Obviously, Eden in Ezekiel 28 is described as a mountain. So you had Ezekiel's, the rebellion in Genesis 3 that took place in Eden. Yes, it was a garden, but it was a garden on a mountain, said Ezekiel. Then you've got the Genesis 6 rebellion that took place in Mount Hermon. You've got the mountain that was sacred to Baal, which was so important that the name of that mountain, Tzaphon, became the Hebrew word for the compass point north because it was located in northern Syria, way north of Israel.
You've got an artificial mountain.
The artificial mountain of Babel. You've got Mount Sinai, which was where God revealed himself to Moses. Even Mount Carmel, where Elijah confronted the prophets of Baal, which was probably the Baal of the city of Tyre, which was Melkart, which is the Phoenician name for Hercules.
Yeah, Elijah.
Who knew?
Doing battle with Hercules.
Yeah.
I got to see that movie.
Yeah, I would go to see that movie.
Me too.
And then, of course, Muhammad, who received his revelation at a mountain called Jabal al-Nur, which is the mountain of enlightenment.
And then you've got the idea that various gods, like the Olympians, they all live on mountains.
Exactly. So, mountains play a key role. And, of course, all of this is for the Mount of Assembly, the Har Moed, which is the Hebrew phrase behind the Greek term Har Megiddon or Armageddon.
Exactly.
The war is for God's Mount of Assembly, which is at Jerusalem.
Exactly. And I love it that we are shown in the book of Daniel, chapter 2, that the Lord himself will take down all of these false kingdoms. He'll take down all of these fallen entities. And he, as the true, wonderful, pure, kingly mountain, will fill the earth.
Yes.
The great reset, the true great reset, will happen.
Absolutely. Well, there are some echoes of 2,000-year-old pagan understandings of the Golden Age in our modern world and in the drive to build or create a heaven on earth, the so-called Great Reset. We'll talk about that when Unraveling Revelation continues.
With the forces of light and dark lining up for battle, it is time for the warriors of God to realize that we are at war. Skywatch TV is proud to announce the Armageddon Collection. When you order Colonel David Jamona and Troy Anderson's new book, The Military Guide to Armageddon, from the Skywatch TV store, you'll also receive the brand new never-before-released companion DVD, Welcome to Armageddon, and the two-disc DVD collection, The Final Countdown, featuring Dr. Thomas Horn. With decades of personal military experience on the battlefield, as well as the supernatural realm, U.S. Army Colonel David Jamona and Pulitzer Prize-nominated journalist Troy Anderson will equip believers like you to be battle-ready for the days ahead. Their new book, The Military Guide to Armageddon, is an end-times training manual that will teach you how to counter the darkness of approaching evil forces, operate on a new level of spiritual warfare following biblical and military principles, prepare for the intersection of biblical prophecy prophecy, and real-time world events. Develop your spiritual gifts to walk in the supernatural power and protection of the Holy Spirit. You'll also receive the two-disc DVD, The Final Countdown. Now you can sit down one-on-one with Dr. Horn as he details the vision God gave him about the coming messenger, the Apophis asteroid headed toward Earth as we speak, and the Revelation 8 destruction that is starting its final countdown at this very moment, plus his mind-boggling revelations of the Vatican's secret plan for an alien savior, and the evil gene and Lucifer effect. Also included on Disc 2, Ali Anderson Henson and Donna Howell present shocking information on the hidden meaning behind the biblical feasts connected to the first advent and second coming of Jesus Christ. But that's not all. Also included in this incredible offer is the brand new unreleased DVD, Welcome to Armageddon, where Colonel David Jamona preaches a fiery sermon on counting the costs to become an end-time soldier of God. This amazing DVD also includes a special interview featuring Troy Anderson as he sits one-on-one with the Colonel as they discuss their book, The Military Guide to Armageddon, and how to be strong and courageous in these trying times. Sold separately, these items hold a retail value of over $90. Yours now for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling. So become fully equipped and trained in the weapons of spiritual warfare. Walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and prepare you and your family for the coming days of tribulation. This collection is available only while supplies last. So don't delay. The Armageddon Collection, available now at SkyWatchTVStore.com. Order now or call 1-844-750-4985.
Welcome back to Unraveling Revelation from Skywatch TV. I'm Derek Gilbert.
Hi, I'm Sharon Gilbert. Got my tea right here. By the way, if you're wondering why we drink tea, it keeps us energized. But also, I put a little tiny bit of sugar in mine and some cinnamon, and it just really helps. Really does. By the way, if you are wondering, we talked about losing weight. Go to Health Warrior Journal. It's a page at Facebook that I run, Health Warrior Journal, and you'll see videos and read tips and see how it was that I lost 120 pounds.
120 pounds.
I've kept it off for 6 years.
Mm.
And you lost 40.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were able to go overseas and walk up and down real mountains just because we had lost that weight. And we want you to get into shape so you can go to Israel with us in 2023, March 19th of 2023. You can go to skywatchinisrael.com. All the information is there. But as we promised you last week, we are going to, we have plans, God willing, we're going to Turkey in October. The exact dates, we don't know yet. We'll announce those probably in the next couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. But here's where we're going.
Yeah. The flight, now again, we'd fly into Ankara and from there visit a number of sites in Ankara, including the Anatolian Civilizations Museum. And the reason is that the Hurrians and the Hittites and the Luwians, mm-hmm, and the ancient Greeks, the Achaean Greeks or the Mycenaean Greeks, mm-hmm, basically were mixing and mingling all throughout Anatolia. And they played a key role in the transmission of all of these ideas from Mesopotamia and Canaan, the Amorites and the Hurrians, mm-hmm, through that land to Greece and Rome.
And we'll go to the churches of Revelation cities.
Yes.
And the gates of hell.
Yes.
Pamukkale.
Pamukkale, yes. The Plutonion.
Yes.
Chatalhoyuk, which is a really interesting location in Cappadocia. The hotel in Cappadocia is in a cave.
I know, isn't that exciting? We're going to Göbekli Tepe.
Göbekli Tepe is also on the list. We'll also go to Sanliurfa, which there are some scholars who believe that that is the Ur of the Chaldees that Abraham came from.
I think
that's a strong possibility because Abraham came from northern Mesopotamia. He did not come from Ur in southeast Iraq.
No, there are those who disagree with us, and I respect that opinion, but you and I, based on what we've read, we think it's probably that. So make plans to join us in Turkey, which means that if you don't have a passport, apply for it now because it will probably take several months for it to come back. Mm-hmm. If your passport is going to expire anytime this year, I'd go ahead and renew it because when you get on a plane, they say, okay, your passport's going to expire in 2 months. We don't want to send you because you may not be able to get back. Yeah. Just get it. Make sure your passport is... Yeah, ours is plenty.
If you got an interest, send us an email. I'll put the email address on the screen here to reach us. But send us an email because this will be a relatively small tour, two dozen at most,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, it's sort of a Bible's greatest mysteries tour of Turkey. So we want you to go because this is going to be a scholarly tour.
Yeah, yeah. Archaeological sites and Turkey, the government
and
of Turkey, yes.
Coffee.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, Turkish coffee. Oh. But they're very much interested in developing their... archaeological resources, and there are some just fascinating places in Turkey that are among some of the oldest religious sites on the planet. So
yes, indeed.
Yeah. So we'll tell you more in the weeks ahead.
Yes. So mountains, there are mountains near Turkey, in Turkey.
Yeah.
In fact, the mountains that Noah landed on.
Yes, the mountains of Ararat.
Yes, yeah. Not too far from Göbekli Tepe.
That's true. And I wrote about that in the Second Coming of Saturn because
you
the civilization
did.
That became... The Hurrians or the Horites of the Bible originated in that region of between Turkey and Armenia, the Ararat Plain below the mountains of Ararat. So it's very possible that this idea of summoning spirits from the netherworld, the Bab-el, the God Gate, originated in, well, with those people who came off the Ark in that civilization. There is a growing belief among scholars that contrary to what we assumed, which was that civilization began in Sumer, southeast Iraq, and spread north through Mesopotamia, that the first urban civilizations were in Sumer. Now they're saying, wait a minute, because now that they've done more digging in northern Syria and in southeastern Turkey, they're finding that some of those urban civilizations were already in the north, and then it's possible that the Sumerian civilization may actually have come from the Caucasus region and moved south because they found connections in the art and the type of graves that were in the pre-Sumerian civilization, the Uruk civilization.
The pottery and the grave goods,
Right. So anyway, there are a lot more interconnections there than they realize, but it appears to point back to that region in the Caucasus. And when you're talking about the Caucasus, you're talking about that area that's right there next to the mountains of Ararat. So
it's so interesting. Yes. Well, the people who lived in those seven church cities, Philadelphia and Laodicea and the others, they understood a lot of this information because they were soaking in it. Now, this statue... Would you say that this series of metals, this series of civilizations, this series of seasons to come are echoed in the animals? It's a different aspect of Daniel, and I didn't have you bring it up, so I'm really throwing you a curveball here. But it just I find it so interesting that the book of Revelation, the people who received it were soaking in the Greek and Greco-Roman era. They understood all of the plays and the pageantry and the paganism that was taking place at the time. That is really a result of the goat coming over and taking over from the current administration of the Persian-Median Empire.
So we're looking a little further ahead then.
And I'm just sort of saying that the Lord... When he gives these prophecies, he allowed Daniel to see a successive series of eras by different ways of teaching it.
So we see in Daniel 7 the correlation between the animals, the lion with eagle's wings corresponding to Babylon and the head of gold. The bear corresponding with the Medo-Persian Empire, the leopard with four wings and heads, the Greece.
It's definitely the Greeks because and later on we get a goat is coming in and he's butting against. That's in a different part.
Right, right.
But yes, the leopard because the four generals who took over from Alexander.
Right, right. The third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, who. Nebuchadnezzar's died, he's off the scene, and Belshazzar, who was the son of the last king of Babylon, Nabonidus, so now we're getting closer to the 530s.
He was a regent.
530s BC, right. Belshazzar was the regent because Nabonidus was out hanging out in an oasis in the desert. So we had the goat who became exceedingly great when he was strong. The great horn was broken, and then four conspicuous horns came up after. Those are the four generals who took over Alexander's empire.
Right.
Right. And... Yeah.
And now let me tell you why I asked about that.
Okay.
Go ahead and read that, and then I'll tell you.
This is Daniel 8, verse 9. Out of them, out of one of them came a little horn, which grew exceedingly great toward the south, toward the east, and toward the glorious land, Israel. Mm-hmm. It grew great even to the host of heaven, and some of the host, and some of the stars it threw down to the ground and trampled on them. It became great as the prince of the host.
Mm.
Michael? And the regular burnt offering was taken away from him, and the place of his sanctuary was overthrown, and a host will be given over to it together with the regular burnt offering because of transgression, and it will throw truth to the ground, and it will act and prosper.
We get into that in Giants, Gods, and Dragons, I think, a little bit.
Yes, the little horn. And then it's explained to Daniel by an angel, Gabriel,
mm-hmm.
the archangel. The goat is the king of Greece, the ram with the two horns, the kings of Media and Persia,
mm-hmm.
and from the horn it was broken, four kingdoms shall arise, the successors to Alexander. In the latter end of the kingdom, the transgressors have reached their limit. A king of bold face, one who understands riddles, shall arise. There are those who interpret him as Antiochus Epiphanes.
Mm-hmm. But he was a foreshadowing of what we have not
the Antichrist.
Yet seen yet.
Yeah. So, yeah, interesting that you got the ram and the goat
yes.
kind of corresponding.
Now, let me tell you why I brought that up. Because when we were between programs, you and I were, because we record two at each sitting, when we were between them, you said, let's talk about the horns. I want to make sure, and we're going to talk more about that next week, by the way, but horns have great symbolism. We've talked about mountains as symbolism. Metals as symbolism,
mm-hmm.
but horns also have meaning when it comes to successive ages
yeah.
and rulers of this world.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there are 10 kings who may be interpreted as 10 horns.
Right, right.
Who are waiting to reign. And I yeah. think those are spirit kings.
I agree with you there. And we can talk about some programs that and other interpretations, rather, of those 10 kings
mm-hmm.
because it's puzzled scholars for many, many years who are the 10 kings. What kings they? Is it the European Union? Are
mm-hmm.
they? I think you're right. I think
well,
we need
to that
look
was
at them
related
realm.
To the 10 toes on the feet.
Yes.
I don't think that you can do that. I don't think that those 10 toes represent the European Union because we passed 10 in their EU a long
oh, yeah.
time
oh,
ago.
Yeah.
You can't even say that there are 10 core. States because they argue amongst themselves so much.
They really do.
They're scrambling to see who's going to be on top right now.
Right. Well,
it's been Germany for a while, but France wants that position.
They do.
And now,
do.
Of course, Britain just left.
Yeah.
I'm
and
out
now
of here.
Poland may be leaving too very soon.
Look for Polexit. Yeah. It's going to happen.
Well, one very quickly wanted to touch on this because we teased it before the break.
Oh.
The Roman historian Justin, 2nd century AD, describing the Saturnalia, said it was so popular because during this 1 week period, no one had any private property, but all things were common to all and undivided as one estate for the use of everyone. In memory of, actually he's describing the golden
it's
age of Saturn.
Shareholder economy.
Stakeholder That's, economy, yes.
No, say so yes, yeah, stakeholder economy.
Yeah, but this actually was a description of the golden age of Saturn, which is why the Saturnalia was so popular, because they reconstructed that for that 1 week. And that is what the rulers of this world want to achieve.
It is. We will discuss that more next week as well.
Yeah, so much to discuss, so little time. This is Unraveling Revelation.
Unraveling Revelation is part of Skywatch TV. To learn more about Skywatch TV and the work of our sister ministry, Whispering Ponies Ranch, please visit our website, skywatchtv.com. And please join us for our weekly study of the Bible online at gilberthouse.org.